Our resident philosopher Al Jeaney's back tonight for his monthly segment where we explore the big ticket issues of our time, life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. This hour, we talk about procrastination. Or we can wait till next hour.
Yeah. Okay.
What is procrastination and what does the act of putting things off say about ourselves? We'll talk about the types, talk about the famous procrastinators of our time, and how many of us use it to get stuff done. What? I think that's me.
Yeah, that's really an irony, isn't it? You think procrastinators are slothful, not slothful,
right.
Slothful.
We learned this before, right?
We learned this already. And it's not that. And by the way, before I give my two full disclosures, we have to make an important distinction between laziness and procrastination. Laziness is temporary. Laziness is kind of selective. Laziness is kind of occasional. It's when laziness becomes a permanent set that it becomes procrastination. That's a way of life, a character flaw, how you negotiate reality, what you're doing it. So we're all of us lazy, and we're all saying that, I remember taking Psych 101,
right,
and it was
right,
deviant behavior.
Right.
And the professor Bischoff, I remember this, God, that was in 1832 as well, to remember it far back. Professor Bischoff's book had just written the book on deviant behavior. And so you're reading the book, and you're reading the book going, I'm crazy. Oh, I'm one of these. I'm a psychopath. I'm a killer. And a lot of people are going to say, but this is what I'm going to tell you. We're all procrastinators to some extent, or at least we're lazy on occasion.
There you go. Al Jeaney's a professor of business ethics at the Loyola Quinlan School of Business. He's an author as well. His latest book is called The Importance of Being Funny, Why We Need More Jokes in Our Lives. I've always known procrastination to be, I always think about it in terms of college. You mentioned right there. Just this idea that I'm procrastinating. I got a paper that needs to be done. That it wasn't necessarily who I was. It was something that I was using at the time, and it is interesting to hear that contrast between how it laziness. I was probably more lazy than I was.
But it's also de rigueur. I mean, I've dealt with college students enough time. It is part of the regime of being a college student. Say, I wrote the paper 20 minutes before class, and I want to tell you, as a person who grades those papers, I figured that out right away. But the reality is, you stay up all night long, and you want to do it. You put it to the end because you're so busy doing all this, doing all that, and undergraduates do not follow the Jeaney rule of law, which I've given for years and years and years. It really works. Make every day an 8-hour day. If you've got 5 hours of class, put in 3 hours of studying. If you've got 3 hours of class, put in 5 hours. And on the weekends,
just
3 or 4 hours each day. You could still get your wash done. You could still go out. You could still get drunk if you have to. And you still could dance.
I love that's the priority.
Get your wash in first. Yeah, get your wash first.
So then get drunk.
You're not dirty. You're never going
to
date if you're dirty.
Drunk,
you know how that goes.
Right.
But to think, all you have to do is figure that out. But no, what you want to do is push the envelope. How far can I get it there? And the night before, under pressure and doing, I work better under pressure. No, you don't.
You said you have two disclosures.
Yeah,
what are the disclosures?
Really important to do this. And I think it's important to talk about procrastination. The first disclosure is I am not a procrastinator. I am the converse. Because I fear failure, I work harder and harder to overcome my lassitude, my limits, and the natural inertia that I always have in my body. I am an A-type overachiever out of necessity because I'm afraid. If I work hard and if I get something done, people say, well, yeah, that's pretty good. But if I work hard and fail, at least they say to me, well, he tried.
At least he tried.
Because the neighborhood I grew up in, it was okay to be out of work when there wasn't any work there. But if you were out of work because you didn't want to look for work, you were a bum. And I don't want to be a bum. So I've worked I've overcompensated. And I think this is the converse of procrastination because as Andrew's going to talk about, Andrew talked about in the book
Soon.
Soon by Andrew Santella, out by Murrow Press, and even reviewed everywhere, and I hate that because I know Andrew, and full disclosure, number two, he was a student of mine, and the show tonight is based on his book, and I've known him for over 38 years, and he would come into my office almost every day and complain about, I can't do this. Andrew was turned in the paper 2 minutes before it's due, or started the paper 2 minutes before it's due. And he complained about it. He couldn't get it over his lassitude. He couldn't get his life together. And frankly, it took him, as he said, 35 years to finally write this book. He's been postponing it his entire life. But what's interesting about the book, Soon, it's so well written and so clever. He's not trying to end his habit of lassitude, but rather trying to understand it and explain it. And frankly, as an academic and as a writer, this is what all writers do. They take a problem and turn it into a research project.
Well, it is one, as you mentioned, because Roe was even saying this as we were talking about in the crosstalk. This idea that we all think procrastination is something that, and you just mentioned it as well, but we all think it's just part of, it's laziness or it's something something that everybody has.
Yeah, it goes away.
But there is a psychological portion to this, to say that it almost gets classified in a personality. Yeah. I wouldn't say disorder. Maybe you would say disorder, but it's a type of personality.
It can reach a disorder. And I think that you have to look at procrastination. Why is it important? Because in a very real sense, we are the things we do. We're defined by what we do. You know, it's not just my theory here. And when you don't do anything, who are you? When you put that off all the time, after a while, you become that which you are not, or you become that which you are unable to accomplish. Right. And so this is really a type, and that's why it's important to talk about procrastination. And we think that it's passing, but it's not passing for Andrew. Andrew really struggles with this, and I think a lot of people struggle with this.
Absolutely.
But it also can be used in very interesting ways.
And we're going to talk about that, because there's the types, and then we can talk about how some of the types, we kind of joked about at the beginning, actually turn procrastination and on its head in the way that they actually are much, they get things done because of their procrastination. Let's start with the history of it. The word itself and where it comes from.
The word itself, of course, now we get to quote Latin, so people think we're smart. The Latin pro meaning forward and cross meaning tomorrow. And in the dictionary, any standard dictionary, means to delay, to postpone. And then there's the pathological. And I think, like most human behaviors, there's a spectrum. So to procrastinate on a task you don't want to do, that's using the word. That's not using the phenomena. Procrastination is really, as you indicated at the beginning, a way of life, a character structure, perhaps a character flaw. So that it is also, though, a way of coping with life. And I think it's very interesting. You can procrastinate because you don't want to deal with something, because you're afraid of it, because you can't deal with it, because it's too overwhelming, because it's in other words, the flip version of my theory on humor. Humor is a way of coping with reality when there are not other alternatives. So is procrastination. But it really comes down, and 20% of the population really registers itself as procrastinators in a serious sense, not just the not the lazy sense. And I think what's interesting about procrastination, it's postponing or not undertaking something, even though you know you're going to be worse off because of that.
Yeah. That's the key.
See, that's the danger here.
Yeah.
And procrastination is reverses the Greek philosophical notion of, if I will get my Greek incorrectly here, akrasia, that no one will intentionally act against the best interest or best judgment. That's not true. Think about it. Drugs, alcohol, overeating, putting off doing your tasks, getting fired, et cetera, et cetera. So I think procrastination, and when you have it in this kind of character sense, is a fundamental driving principle in your life, which can be either destructive or, and sometimes, advantageous.
Al Genia, the professor of business ethics and our resident philosopher here on the Download, Business Ethics at Loyola Quinlan School of Business, of course. His latest book is called The Importance of Being Funny, Why We Need More Jokes in Our Lives. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Maybe we'll talk more about
it. I don't know. Maybe let's talk sports later.
You know what? Okay. Do procrastination later in the show. Okay. It's a long show. We can do it later.
I'm tired. I've got to go. Okay.
It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio, as he is once a month here on the Download, is our Download resident philosopher, Al Genia. He's the professor of business ethics at the Loyola Quinlan School of Business and an author. His latest, The Importance of Being Funny, Why We Need More Jokes in Our Lives. But tonight, we're talking about procrastination and moving it from the idea that it's so quirky that I'm so quirky.
I'll do it tomorrow.
I'm such a procrastinator, to recognizing that it has a psychological impact. And
really?
it can be actually classified in the categories like you mentioned, like dysfunction, but drugs, alcohol, all the things that you just mentioned. Al, let's get into the types of procrastinators, because it's such a blatant generic term, but there's actually a breakdown of types.
Yeah, there's a breakdown.
Types.
And just a little background on that. I want to finish up because I wrote this Latin down and I don't want to lose it because it took so long.
It took so long for you to, yeah, right.
And the motto is cras milior est, meaning tomorrow is better. Oh. And the reality is, some real major figures in the history of death. St. Augustine once famously said in the City of God, he said he was praying for celibacy and chasteness. He says, "Dear Lord, I pray for this, but not yet, dear Lord, not quite yet." So this notion of procrastination is really part of it. And there are really, I think, at least three types that we can be very specific about. Those who can't finish what they start. And this is a pathology, which may be minor or grand, but it's in children. Your mother said this to you. I've met your mother. I'm sure your mother said this to you. You weren't a perfect child. Can you finish that? When you finish your homework, then you can watch television.
Right.
Not being able to, you start something and it's left there. There's always never resolved. And there's lots of reasons that we can talk about some great figures in history.
And we'll do that. That one is really interesting because that is a trait. I see this a lot in creatives.
Yes.
Where,
absolutely.
You know, you talk about people who make it in New York or Los Angeles and in comedy, entertainment, things like that. One of the traits they have to have is to be able to finish the project they started. It's easy to say, hey, I've got an idea and this would be great. Let's do it. But executing it is another thing. It's interesting to see how that falls under the pathology or falls under procrastination.
And by the way, procrastinators don't make good entrepreneurs because entrepreneurs throw a lot of stuff at the wall, but then you have to monetize it. You have to walk it around. You have to do something with it. And that takes diligence. That takes real discipline. They can be provocateurs.
Right.
But not necessarily entrepreneurs, and we'll talk about that. Second, there's the one who can't get started in the first place, just can't get mobilized to do it, as if, and I've learned this about ethics. I've argued about ethics forever and ever as a rational endeavor. Well, you know what? Ethics isn't emotional. I don't feel like being good today. It's a rational choice. You decide to love somebody in a serious sense. You feel lust and passion, but the bottom line is you decide that I love this person. You make a rational decision. And a lot of people just can't make that decision to get started, even when they know I'm 100 pounds overweight. I'm eating too much cholesterol. The doctor says my blood pressure is through the ceiling. I can't bring myself to do it. Even more parochially, the hardest thing I've ever done, Justin, is quit smoking.
Yeah,
you know, like
Mark
Twain really hit me when he said, quitting smoking is the easiest thing in the world. I do it 2 or 3 times a week. And I did for years. I just couldn't. Until my wife very clearly said, if you ever want to touch these pearly lips again, I never want to smell it again. But it was really very difficult to do.
But that
Put it off.
I got to say, that's an interesting one as well, because that, I think, is one that I feel I have characteristics in. I think that a lot of people listening right now say that is true. You know, it's hard when faced with something that you have to do. Losing weight is a great example. Just getting started is hard.
Right.
It's hard to do, and at a certain point, I don't ever think of that as a psychological like some sort of problem with my character. I think of it as just I don't know, like
you're not recognizing the duty of the situation.
Yeah.
When we talk about courage, for example, we think it's this sudden thing, you just get up and do it. No, you have to force yourself to do it. You really have to force yourself. This is acting against my own best interest. I'm acting in a way that I'm selfless in the attempt to help someone else. A courageous act.
I would think that that's a big one. I would think people listening right now I just feel like that's a human trait.
Right.
I know that it's probably not. There's percentages that break down, but
I just
feel like otherwise everyone would do it.
And there's lots of reasons for not getting started. Yeah. Again, you're afraid. You're unsure. You know the commitment is too large.
Right.
You know, the fourth date now for the millennials. What does the fourth date mean? Do we go on? Is this a relationship or are we just dating?
And in this one, it almost, you can get meta. And I know we have other ones to get to. And we've got a break coming up here. But it is almost meta in the way that procrastination keeps you from making that decision to get started, right?
Yes.
This concept that you're procrastinating because it's going to be a difficult decision to start. Therefore, you're almost procrastinating to on top of the procrastination.
Right, you are. And this is where it becomes disabling. I think there's something good about, let me hang on to that a little bit, good about procrastination. Sometimes not doing something is a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that stupid phrase that you're thinking that you want to really tell your mother right now, but the minute you let it out of your mouth, that alters forever your relationship with your mother or a loved one, so on and so forth. But I think that not being able to get started is human hesitancy times X. What is the X? Is it fear? Is it uncertainty? And knowing that once you get into it, you're through. It's like I remember telling my son when he wanted to play baseball. I said, fine, you want to play baseball, but that means you're sticking. You're not quitting. This is part of it. You commit to it. You made the team. They want you to play this position. You want to play this. You have to show up. You have to be there, et cetera, et cetera.
And we're going to get there, I'm sure. But do you see procrastination as a learned behavior? Meaning you'll hear, a good example is a parent. I have a 10-year-old son who, he won't stick on baseball, right?
You
just sent him baseball. And I said, if you're going to start, you're going to quit. And he quits. He doesn't want to do it. And then I would think to myself, and the insecurities of a parent, and being like, well, I didn't really do a good enough job of instilling that discipline or being there pushing him through the parts that were hard.
Yeah.
Like, is procrastination a learned behavior?
I think it is learned, and I think it's also, I think you pick it up both from your parental sets and also just in a sociological form, sociologically, that is. You see other people putting things at a distance. And if they're doing that and you're unsure, why do I do that? You know, why don't I do that as well? It's a coping. You got to remember, procrastination is a coping mechanism.
Ooh.
And it can be good or it can be bad. And in your son's case, I want to talk to you after class a long time. You should have said you must go. If you go, you got to stay. And those are the lessons they pick up.
Right.
And because otherwise, children just do the easy.
Yeah, agreed. I think there's a balancing act, and there might be a different show, because as a parent, I'll say he has interest and discipline in other areas, not necessarily in that sport. So you as a parent have to say, I don't want to be that dad who's you're going to play third base.
You can't do that.
Yeah, right.
But if he is going to go out for the team, here the real lesson is, whatever he's interested in,
Encourage Al Genie is here. He's a professor of business ethics at the Loyola Quinlan School of Business. And he's also the author of Importance of Being Funny, Why We Need More Jokes in Our Lives. We're talking about procrastination on the program tonight. We did the first two, and we're going to do the second two types of procrastinators coming up here right after Rob's news. So stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's a Download 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here. A beautiful night in Chicago. June 2018. You can't get any better than that. Professor Al Genie here in studio, as he is once a month. Our resident philosopher, professor of business ethics at the Loyola Quinlan School of Business. His latest book is called The Importance of Being Funny, Why We Need More Jokes in Our Lives. Tonight we're talking about no laughing matter. We're talking about procrastination. Why we do it, what it is, and, of course, what it says about ourselves. We're talking about the types of procrastinators right now. I had said there were four. There are only three.
And those, I said, we started, those who cannot finish what they start. Secondly, those who can't get started in the first place. And then the structural procrastinator, the person who gets a lot done by doing other things instead of the thing they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's a motivation of fear. And as Robert Benchley, the famous writer, says, anyone could do any amount of work provided it isn't the work you're supposed to do at that moment.
Oh, my gosh.
And Andrew Santel and Soon says very clearly, says, when I have something I really have to do, I start making lists about other things, and I start doing that list.
That's all. Everybody in the window does that.
Everybody
watching the show
lists, makes lists of things. Now, in some sense, procrastination this way, you know, it isn't the procrastinators are lazy. Something else is behind it. Is it fear again? Is it uncertainty? Is it, it's an odious task and I don't want to do it? You know, there's wisdom
in that.
Well,
can it just be that? I mean, I will get into it because there's going to be, I have some texts I want to ask about mental illness, things of that nature. But when you talk about procrastination, can it just be, I don't want to do that task?
Yes, but that's not the pathological. And then you're going to do something else. That could be strategy. We're talking about this off mic. We have four things to do today. Well, I can't do all four, and this one is more important than that one. And that's not procrastination. That's strategy. Put it off. Rather than doing all four badly, you finished one or two of them to do something else. But I'm talking about a way of life. And sometimes procrastination in this way, you get other things done. Now, the question is, are those things worth doing? As Andrew said in the book, all the paint cans in my garage are perfectly arranged in the garage, and there's perfect nails up there and everything's hanging. Is that really critical when you should be finishing that manuscript that you got paid for to do it? Now, part of it is also, in some sense, sometimes for me, and we're both writers, you have to let it cook. And then all of a sudden, it hits. And then whatever you're doing, you stop. I keep pad and pencil next to my bed at night to mark down how many times my wife snores. No, that's not the truth. I hope she's not listening. But, you know, you have an idea, and you say, I'll write that down tomorrow. No, you won't. No. Get up. Write that down now. And the day nights I don't, it's gone. So I had that idea.
I find this to be very personal because I have a job with the show. Where we'll do 5 to 7 people. You say 5 to 7 segments a night. Where there are big meaty segments. This is one that we have to get to understand the topic and understand what we're doing. Two theater pieces coming up here. I got an author on Thursday. You recognize that there are deadlines every day, And I find myself making lists to be able to do that, plus the things I need to do at home. And I do find myself prioritizing big ticket segments. I'll be like, nah, it's
nice
later.
The P word is important here.
Yeah.
Prioritizing and procrastination may be similar in their affect, that is when you see them done, but they're different in their motivation. And that, I think, procrastination can be a really a destructive weapon in our life or a helpful occasional tool. But it's how you use it. Now, there are lots of counter examples of this. You know, Darwin was a famous procrastinator. He returns from the Beagle, the 4 or 5 year voyage in 1837. And in 1838, he writes in his notebook while he's having coffee, you know, each species changes continuously, period, full stop. Took him more than 20 years to write the whole book. Now, part of the reason for that is he was raised an English gentleman who didn't really work, who played with his children, who read carefully during the day. Also, he was worried about his wife, who was a deeply committed Christian. He thought he would be antagonizing her. Also, he was worried about that if my ideas are true, does that apply to intellectual ideas? Does that apply to our belief in God?
So all of those things that were essentially his fears, they manifest themselves into procrastination.
Right.
I'm just not going to do it.
That's right. He was afraid of doing it, and he did put it off. Part of it was lassitude. Oh, I'll get to that. You know, I have friends. I'm at the end of my career who are classmates in graduate school who have yet to finish their dissertation, and it's half done, or three quarters done, or the fifth draft is in the drawer. But for that becomes pathological. They can't do it. But prioritizing is different. Da Vinci. This incredible person. We all talk about this great painter. He only did 20 paintings. And it took him 20. He was working on the Mona Lisa for 26 years. He carried it around with him. He wasn't happy
That's amazing.
With it. But he invented stuff. He dabbled in science and engineering. He was a polymath in a very real sense. And he did 1,000 things. Also, you have to be very careful. He was genius. But there's a little attention deficit problem there as well. He couldn't stay with it. Or he got to a point where he says, I can't perfect this. It can't be done. He let it go. And then he went on to the next thing. But the genius never stopped. But he would stop a project because, I don't like that color. Oh, I'm not sure about that smile. Now, in regard to his paintings, that became a real deficit. He never finished selling them.
Sure.
He never turned them in.
Right.
He was always struggling for money, et cetera, et cetera. But it was also part of his genius that he went from one thing and then put that down and went to another. You know, and this wonderful book that I'm blanking on his name, help me, on the Da Vinci book. He says, through this all, he asks himself questions like, how many times does a hummingbird's tongue vibrate? I mean, he was so curious about life that as soon as he got an idea, he got hooked on that idea and couldn't finish another idea.
Sounds ADD.
Yeah, it does.
Well, before we go on to other people, I have to say that you wonder about how we've approached things like attention deficit disorder and other disorders where we've medicated to essentially bring focus to people.
Yeah.
I see this in kids when they're not focusing in school.
Right.
And you think about procrastination as we know it and how fleeting and how, if you will, flighty it is, where people are like, I'm such a procrastinator. It doesn't get the same attention. And you wonder how tied together all this stuff is, where procrastination is the same manifestation as attention deficit disorder or this idea that certain people can't finish what they started.
I'm not a doctor. I only play it on this radio show on occasion. But I do think there is an intrinsic connection between attention deficit disorder and this habit of procrastination. I think procrastination is part of the human condition. I think we all procrastinate, as I said, for natural reasons and for necessary reasons as well. But when it becomes a pathological negative, which really destroys you, really inhibits you, then we're talking about a different kind of problem.
And again, you are, you know, Dr. Genius here.
Yeah.
Take your question on.
I'm here to help.
Take your question on tendonitis next hour. No, I am interested because when you think of procrastination, I also think about it like I could be a procrastinator this week, and next week I could start on Monday and I can do those things in the garage and get them done and feel like I accomplished those goals.
Again,
is it something that's temporary?
It can be, and I think in a quote unquote, whatever this means, normal human being, procrastination is part of our repertoire of how we approach reality. I'm not going to do this now. I don't want to do this now. I hate doing this now. I'll get it next week. I know I got to get done and get it next week. But when it comes this, you're always up against, think about this. Do you really want to be an undergraduate perpetually? Do you really want to be studying only the night before? Do you really want to be putting that 10-page paper together 7 hours before it's due? You know, it seemed fun. It was challenging, but that's burnout, baby. You know,
and so interesting. We'll go to a break here and we'll come back with Al Jeanne. But I'm finding the connection in the moment with this topic and several others that we've done together, that really the key to life, and I just had the epiphany, this could change all of our lives. Okay. I should save it for publishing.
Is this being taped right now?
Balance.
Yeah.
It's all, everything. We did the seven deadly sins. We did the even the great leadership and that theory last time we were on.
Yeah.
All these kind of things that it almost everything about the human experience is constantly about this balance. And it seems like procrastination falls in that same
category. Aristotle said all things in moderation. He did not mean if there are 500 people in Athens, you should not be friends with all 500 of them. You should not be friends with zero of them. You should be friends with 250 of them. But moderation means an appropriate amount that is digestible, doable, and controllable.
Professor Al Jeanne with you. We're talking procrastination. We come back. We'll talk to you, your texts, and talk about some of this great stuff that's coming in here. 312-981-7200. Our resident philosopher, Al Jeanne. Our resident philosopher, Al Jeanne's in the building. We're talking about procrastination tonight. Our resident philosopher is a business ethics professor at the Loyalist Quinlan School of Business, also the author of The Importance of Being Funny, Why We Need More Jokes in Our Lives. 312-981-7200. We'll read some texts, get into the conversation about procrastination. I feel like this conversation, I identify with a lot of what's happening. I don't consider myself a procrastinator. I never sit there on the therapist couch being like, do that. I mean, but listening to these, you know, the descriptions, it makes me feel like I fit the mold.
But everyone does. And again, that course in deviant behavior, you read through by chapter four, you're saying, I'm insane. I need, you know, after a while, there are characteristics. But I also want to not end this segment without talking about the good benefits of procrastination, the positive benefits of procrastination and how it can better our lives. And that is sometimes, you know, procrastination allows us to percolate our priorities and to allow us to make decisions, to be reflective for a moment. As Andrew says, he says it brilliantly. Let me quote Andrew. I rarely quote a former student. I hate that when they're smarter than I am. If procrastination has any virtues, one is certainly that it encourages us to think about what we are doing and why we are doing it. When I put off things I'm supposed to do, it often is because I'm wondering whether these things should be done. That terrible novel that thankfully I never wrote, that bad deal that I didn't do, not actually saying those stupid things to friends that would alienate them. Sometimes there are good results from being procrastinated. Sometimes, as my mother would say, shut up and think about it before
like
you say
gut
it.
Instinct, right?
So there's something that really to be said for this. Unfortunately, in society, we denigrate procrastinators because in society, you know, time is money. Productivity is virtuous. Success is the gold standard. So if you're a procrastinator, then, you're pure potential. Yeah. Pure potential only lasts for about 4 years, buddy, and then you're through.
312-981-7200. Daisy, what's your thoughts on procrastination?
Yes, my question is, do you believe that procrastination, or do you have any evidence to show that it is possibly generational also? Mm. I don't seem to know many people who are, say, 65 or older who are procrastinators, but I know so many people under 60 who are.
That's a great question. Mm. Thanks, Daisy. Could it be generational? I mean, we talked a lot about historical figures.
I think ontology always reduplicates philology. That is, the model that you get as a child is often the model that you either react to or react against,
right.
Or mimic. And so I do think, I mean, I only play a doctor on television shows when I'm offered the gig. I can't say this medically in any way, but it seems to me in my readings that procrastination can be a learned trait,
right.
and part of a milieu, if you will.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes, the French, since we are here.
You're really nailing all sorts of language. This is amazing.
The polyglot. and I think this young lady is right. By the way, maybe the 60-year-olds and above that you know that aren't procrastinating because they survived. And maybe because they were doers. They're there.
Procrastinators didn't survive.
They didn't.
815 says, I'm a teacher, and as soon as school gets out for the summer, like right now, I find it hard to get anything done.
Yeah.
Why does summer bring on
because you live your whole life structured. I'm not lecturing anymore, and at 10:30, I'm picking up my briefcase and walking into a room with nobody there. Because your behavior modified, yeah. And you're ready for this. And now you change your schedule, and it takes a little while to get in the schedule. It's like for vacation for me. I have to prepare to go on vacation. Otherwise, if I just run to the airport, I'm not ready for it. Yeah. And I have to detox from vacation. I never take vacations where I got to show up the next day and go to work. I'm totally, bollocks by that. So I think the teacher is, that's not procrastinating. It's getting into a new rhythm.
630 says, my tasks are so big that I get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
That seems to fill
into the fear. Yeah, that's a survival mechanism. Right. I can't do this. This is more than I can do. This is more than a commitment that I want to make. This is more than my talents tell me I can handle. And so we put it off.
Yeah. 815 says, can we talk about procrastination as has to do with mental health, specifically bipolar disorder? Yeah. Now, again, you're not a doctor, but it does seem, as we've been talking about, it does seem to be in the category of mental illness that...
We want to be careful here, though. Is being bipolar, does that increase your level of procrastination, or does procrastination cause bipolarism? That's clearly not the case. I think it's the former, that procrastination is the attitude we take towards life because we can't figure out anything.
Right. 224 says, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow.
And never
put off until tomorrow what you can put off forever.
Well, and part of procrastination, the ones who say there's wisdom in procrastination is, if you had waited one more day, you're already done. John Powers. Remember John Powers of the Patent Leather Shoes show Shine Up?
Yeah.
Remember that? He sold more books than God.
Yeah.
And his daughter worked for us
Powers, a lovely great producer. Person. She's on the air in Milwaukee right now.
Bravo for her. Anyway, they made that into a play. And the play showed up at the Drury Lane Theater, or the theater on the South Harlem Avenue. I think it was Drury Lane Theater in the Avenue. And John wasn't going to be there for the opening of the play because he had to go to Hollywood for this contract. But there was a problem with the play, so he didn't get on the plane that day. The one that bellied over in the air on O'Hare Field and crashed onto the Mannheim Expressway. And John was a nervous wreck at the play, and I said, John, you're alive. so sometimes procrastination is a wonderful
thing.
Put
it in perspective.
Yeah.
Al Genie, the professor of business ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University Chicago, is the resident download philosopher, joins us once a month to talk about the big ticket issues.
Same.
The book is called Soon.
Soon. Andrew Santella, buy it. He'll call me. He won't put it off. He'll keep calling me and calling me.
It's called Soon, an overdue history of procrastination from Leonardo and Darwin to you and me. Andrew Santella. Al, great to see you.
Wonderful to see you.
Thank you so much for the conversation.
Sorry we had to do it now. I was hoping we could do it tomorrow, but thanks anyway. Take care.